So it's really, really good being here with you this evening. We've been here all weekend with the youth. There's been a theme. And the theme is full surrender.
Amen. Total surrender.
The kingdom does not work unless we're willing to humble ourselves before the fountainhead of life, the very giver of life. If we humble ourselves under His righteous hand, as the scriptures declare, He shall lift us up. So I want to talk about something this evening. I want to talk about the perspective of the kingdom of God, of what greatness is. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say this: God's called you to greatness. I don't know if they heard you. Look at your neighbor again and say, God called you to greatness. And greatness is tied in to humility. So I'm going to go ahead and spell out a little bit here from Philippians 2 as kind of some groundwork. Jesus Christ, our example. How many of us know that Jesus was great?
Amen.
And He still is great.
Amen.
And forever will be great.
Amen.
For eternity. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at His example. And then we're going to go into Matthew 18. As one of the main texts for this evening. So let's go ahead and start with Philippians 2. And let's read from verse 5. Can somebody praise the Lord in the house? Is He not great? Is He not mighty? And in all of His greatness, His heart swells with love for us. So verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's trying to tell us something. He's saying our thinking, even in this American Silicon Valley, Greater Bay Area, sort of pull and spirit and influence. He says, have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He's given us a key, saints, for greatness. And he says this, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. This is God Almighty. It's God the Son. Now look at this. In all of His glory, all of His majesty, all of His power and splendor, when the angels 24/7 bow down and say, holy, holy, holy. Jesus the Son, part of the Godhead. He did something. Because He's great. Because He's so great. And moved by great love. When He saw you, He did something. To close the gap. Look what He says here. But made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. So here is glory personified. Here is the Creator, the living God, who says, I'm going to humble myself by grace. Even to the point of putting on flesh is a plan. I'm talking about greatness, saints. Greatness is tied into humility. You'll hear me constantly repeating this evening. Greatness is tied in to humility. So look at this. And came in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Or say, he humbled himself. And became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Because of that, his willingness, and my mind goes now to the Garden of Gethsemane, where I believe this sin issue is really handled in his heart and his mind, when he sweat great drops of blood, when he said, Father, take this cup from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That takes greatness. We're going somewhere, saints. This is key. Especially in modern day Christendom. What about titles? About position? About ego? About man's empire building. Do not fall for the trap. Greatness is tied into humility. It's tied into going low. It's tied into brokenness. He humbled himself. Even. Who would have said right here? Oh, I love the Lord. Even the death of the cross. And because of this, the Word of God says, therefore God also has highly exalted him, his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. This is the foundation. This is not just some man's opinion. Jesus Christ, full of majesty, full of glory, power and might, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. The great Creator. He spun the stars into the space. He made the seas, the trees, the hills, and the beasts of the field. This is the great Creator God who humbled himself. If he did it, who do we think we are? You want to be great, saints? You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Our greatness is tied into humility. So not only is it taught or preached, the Lord himself lived it.
Amen.
It's an exampled life.
Amen.
The Lord's not really concerned about how much we know with our swollen heads. The Word of God says that knowledge pops up, but love edifies.
Hallelujah.
I mean, love builds up.
That's right.
It strengthens. It edifies.
That's right. Yeah.
It builds up. What does it build up? The very nature of Christ is love, for God is love.
Amen.
We don't want swollen heads. We want pure and real love.
Amen.
This is the royal law of the kingdom. Let's go now to Matthew 18. That's some groundwork for us, saints. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody happy this evening?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We love the Lord, don't we?
Amen.
The Lord's telling us some truth tonight.
Amen.
He's trying to help us tonight.
Amen.
Let's all sit together. Our greatness, is tied to our humility. Don't forget this. This is foundational in the kingdom of God. See, because the kingdom of God, in a lot of ways, is opposite of what we see with the kingdoms of men. The kingdom of God is about going low and humility and brokenness. And those are the ones that God calls leaders.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The world says, get a swollen head. Make a name for yourself. Step on everyone you step on and climb that ladder. That hierarchy is the systems of men. The kingdom is opposite. It moves the law of love. The kingdoms of men are led by the law of greed and violence. I don't want anything to do with it. The Spirit's age. Read it in Ephesians 3. The Spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. We're fighting, saints. We're battling. But some of the greatest weapons we have in our arsenal is humility. Some of the greatest weapons we have in our arsenal is a grateful heart. Some of the greatest weapons we have in our spiritual arsenal is that of preferring one another even greater than ourselves. Whoa. We're meddling now with some modern day Christianity. We're meddling a little bit. You see, this Hollywood Jesus thing going on all the time, saints. People striving to make a name for themselves. And Jesus' example, He was the King of glory, put on flesh, and even humbled Himself to the point of being nailed to the cross. Why? He was moved by love. You go ahead and read Hebrews 12, and it says this: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
He humbled Himself. He endured the cross, despised the shame. What was that joy set before Him? He saw you. That's why He was willing to put on flesh and even humble Himself to the point of being nailed to a cruel tree. He sees the redemption of humanity. He sees His love creation being restored back to original design. I'm just going here for my spirit. You are designed to know God. You are designed to be loved. That is your home. That's where you're created from. And Jesus, with His humility, because He's so great, restored that. And I'm also reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about being ministers of reconciliation, reconciling people back to God.
Amen.
Where you're ambassadors for Christ.
Yes.
This is the message.
Amen.
Do not be shy. Do not shrink back. You have power and authority and a message. A message about greatness. But the greatness is tied to humility. It will fly into the spirit of this age's face. But you're called to live differently. You're called to be a different example. So let's go to Matthew 18. It's a very interesting passage. Here's the disciples, the ones hanging out with Jesus. And what was their conversation like in the 18th chapter? Who's greatest? Still not getting it. They're walking with the God-man, Jesus Christ in the flesh, and they're still not getting it. And look at the Lord. I love the Lord. You have fun of the Lord this evening?
Amen.
He's so faithful. Look how he handles them. I'm going to read from verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus, we need your help. Verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him. This is when we start meddling right now. Set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." They're talking about who's greatest in the kingdom. And he says, if you don't be converted like a child, you will not enter the kingdom. We need to pause for a minute, saints. Think on this. A little child. He's not talking about immaturity. He's not talking about childishness. And he continues, "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." And he continues, I'm going to go verse 4. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom." Look at your neighbor again.
Neighbor.
And say this. Your greatness is tied into humility. Let's break this down for a minute. Let's break it down for a minute. What is the Lord talking about here? Like, what is the example of a child? I can think of a few things. Where it's a broken world, it's very, very difficult to find the purity of what the Lord is talking about here. But we'll come from maybe an idealistic perspective. When you think of a child, you think of innocence. When you think of a child, they're not fighting mom and dad, they trust mom and dad. And there's a purity. When you think of a child, they're dependent. If you don't feed them, they don't eat. If they don't eat, they die. That's how serious it is. But they're not fretting. They're not wringing their hands full of stress And anxiety, you don't notice that?
Yeah.
A little 3-4-year-old is not full of anxiety. Am I going to get my next meal? Why? Because mom's got it handled. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So talk about trust. These are all the attributes I'm thinking of what the Lord's bringing to the table and the humility of that. Are you getting anything out of this, saints?
Yeah.
Let's turn to some more scripture. I don't think you believe me yet. Hallelujah. I want to go to 1 Peter 5. And let's start with verse 5. Again, our theme is how our greatness is tied into humility. This is for some of the young people as well. But look what the Word of God says here in verse, let's start 5. And it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Can we go ahead and break something down for us? He's not talking about a position here. He's talking about maturity. When you have mature saints around you, it would behoove you, it would benefit you to say, hey, you flat out got some wisdom. Can I glean that? So younger people, let's start being trendsetters. Those young people who are here right now. But we need to start learning the power of submission. It is impossible to submit without humility. I'm fighting you. I'm resisting you. You know what I'm doing? I'm robbing myself because the gift of God is looking at me right there, but I'm resisting it because I'm full of pride and arrogance. And I can't submit. See how the enemy works? He divides and conquers. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
But Christ let him give life and that more abundantly. We need to understand these things. I'm building my spirit right now. That's why we need each other, saints. Let's stop resisting each other. Let's forgive quickly.
Amen.
Let's not be easily offended. We need to submit one to another. In this case, it's talking about the younger, the less mature ones. You've got wisdom all around you. People that love you and care for you. They flat out have some goods to help you in your life. I'm talking about greatness tied into humility. And it continues and it says this. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with what? Just say it right there. Clothe yourself with what? Oh, this is not Jeff's opinion. That's a very interesting way of saying it. He's talking about being clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. This is the key to greatness. This is the key to coming out of the pit of our lives. See, the enemy wants to twist our thinking. He wants to manipulate and control us and have us think like the world, that somehow I need to make it happen to come out of my pit, to exalt myself. Jesus said humility. And humility looks like this. Husband and wives being in agreement together. It looks like when a daughter goes sideways and crazy things happen, that I trust God. In the natural, I can't see it, but I know that that mountain will move.
Amen.
I trust a loving God who has called me to greatness. And the path to greatness is going low, not making a name for yourself. Not striving with religious effort to gain something, to get a hold of something. At the end of the day, it's like chasing the wind. King Solomon talked about, it is vanity. All is vanity. And he experienced a lot of natural, success. Let's go now to James 4:6. Give me a minute. We're talking about humility. I'm going to say it again. The key to greatness is humility. And Rain and I were talking a little earlier. It's not in another meeting, a convention, running here and there. It really is us coming to Jesus. Where is He at? And let's join Him. Not, I'm over here, now bless my mess, Lord. Does that make sense? Let's have a heart that's so tender, so easily entreated. We see where God is moving and we join Him there. And a lot of it is in living rooms. He's moving in living rooms and in relationship and in authenticity. And humility builds that. So James 4:6. And the Word of God says this. But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And He gives a key here in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. There's that word again. We cannot divorce humility with having a heart that's submitted to God. Another powerful weapon, I believe, in our hands. What He says here. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And I want to highlight something here. So the greatest weaponry in warfare we have is just having a heart that submits to God. What does that look like practically? I said, why submit to God? It looks like also submitting one to another. The Word says, submit one to another as unto Christ. It's impossible, saints, to do this without humility. This is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 18. Unless you become a little child. He said, converted. I think we get too sophisticated. We get too tricky. I really think He's talking about a simplicity there. Let's continue. Down to verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I want to say it again. Your greatness is tied in to humility. And this is the simple message the Lord's bringing to us this evening. And so my encouragement to you, My exhortation, practice this sense. Practice not having to be right when you and your spouse are in a little bit of a tension or intense fellowship. Practice preferring someone else higher than yourself.
Amen.
This is real. I'm a real practical guy. I just celebrated 25 years. I mean, this must be practiced. Otherwise, in this day and age, with the destruction of families and marriages, we better exercise these things before the Lord. We can't become more religious and get this. We need transformation deep on the inside of our hearts. This is a miracle from God's sake. It's not me. More Bible memorization, more church services, more conferences. It is literally a crying out in a brokenness before God. A broken and a contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. He won't despise you in that place. But we must have a desperate cry. The Word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be saved. We must be hungry. We must be thirsty. We must be willing to embrace brokenness and say, God, I bow my knee to you. And I bow my knee to you. I can also humble myself before my brother.
Amen.
We must do this, saints. This is a real practice, this. This is part of love as well. The world knows that we're His disciples by our love one for another. When we're constantly embittered and unforgiving, and there's divisiveness and division, the world is not provoked to say, I want Jesus. The 17th chapter of John talks about it, saints. It says that they will know by your oneness, by your unity, that I came from the Father. That's how the world knows. We say, how they love one another. How they humble themselves one before another. You know, the Word of God has it 58 times of the one anothering. Love one another. Be kindly affectionate one towards another. Forgive one another. Be tender-hearted one towards another. I mean, 58 times of one anothering. Do you think the Lord might be trying to say something to us? This is the practical practice. When the world looks at you, let them see somebody who has been willing to break before their God and to humble themselves under His righteous hand, and He says, I will lift you up to greatness. Why? Because we've been dealt with, and we're not going to take His glory. We're not going to take His place and become the God of our own life and lord over and dominate others. But He trusts you that brokenness that you will forever glorify His beautiful name. This is the message. Can we pray? Good little music. Lord, we love you. Can we maybe stand up? Is that all right? We need this, saints. We need this. This is rubber meets the road. This is the real substance of our faith. This is how we example what love looks like. So, Father, we pray. We know we can't manufacture this. We can't become more religious to get this. But we need a miracle. We need transformation. Father, so right now I cry out by your Spirit. Spirit. You see, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Lord, I trust you, Spirit of truth, the great comforter. Move within my brothers and sisters and help us, oh great helper, help us to practice these things, God, that we love well, that we bow our knee to the King of glory, that we humble ourselves under your righteous hand and see you lift us up for a purpose, the purpose to see the King of glory, see the one who humbled himself in the place of putting on flesh and down on the cross, to see him glorified, to see the light of Jesus shine through how we handle each other, God. How we love one another. We humble ourselves, Lord, under your hand before one another. The Lord, help us to cooperate with your Spirit. If there's anything right now, saints, if there's anything that is pulling on you, they need to release and forgive. Handle your business with God right now, saints. The Word of God says very clearly, if we do not forgive, your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. There's an exchange. Handle your business right now before God. He wants to release you from the prison cell. He wants to release you from any bitterness. The Word of God says that bitterness that actually will fester. And it says it will defile many. It's root of bitterness. It will defile many. We must root these things out, saints. We cannot have just this bitter thing, this unforgiving thing, one towards another. We must take our pain, saints, and bring it to Jesus right now. Just cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. He really does, saints. He cares for you. He really cares for you. But handle business right now with your Father. Handle business with your Father. Let him not reach you. Just handle your business with the Lord. Structure, Lord God, how you designed it, because it's not you need him. So I'm going to give you a secret. You've been walking with the Lord. He came after me. He was a 16-year-old boy. I wasn't looking for him. He came after me. And he found me in the gutter. The word says, well, we love him because he first loved us. And in my gutter of sin and rebellion, he put fire in me. He ravished me with his love. He cleaned me, forgave me, established my goings. And what I attribute walking this out with fire 33 years is I am constantly reminded, saints, of my desperate need for Jesus. 33 years, the secret, don't forget your desperation for God.
Amen.
Don't become so religious and so sophisticated that you forget how much you need the simplicity. So the call to our first love.
Amen.
A call to return to our first love. Don't forget the simplicity of Christ. Don't forget your desperation for him. I don't care how much knowledge, how much Bible memorization, how many conferences you went to. Can we do that? Can we really pray one for another? Can we get real honest with this? Let's get real honest. Amen.
My name is you, Lord.